Blog Talk Radio.
Embrace Today is brought to you by Whole House Ministries. Host Apri Curry will inspire listeners to embrace their today with hope and expectation, with a focus of bringing about freedom, healing, and restoration through the Word of God. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world."
Good morning and welcome to Embrace Today. I am your host, Apri Curry, and this morning we are going to be talking from the topic of when life is in you. When we can think about those words and having life in us, being able to breathe, being able to change things around just because we are still up and going, being able to utilize our words and our actions to change situations. Oftentimes, I believe that we don't realize what we can do just by, number one, having life in us, but not just a life where we have breath of life, but having the Word of God in us, having the Spirit of God in us, we are able to change things. And so this morning, as we look at Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, we are going to discuss some things and talk about some things that we do when life is in us, things that we come across, people that we may see, and the ability that we have to change things. I don't think people realize how much we are able to turn a situation around, or how much we are able to be more optimistic than we normally are. I don't believe that people understand the fact that we have the ability to change circumstances in our lives. We have the ability to change circumstances in other people's lives, but it's all within us. And if we don't recognize and utilize what we have in us, then we won't be able to do those things. So let's look at Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. That's Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. And in thinking about life and thinking about dead situations, or things that we just seem that we may think they're just dead. There's things that we may think that will never change. There's people that we may think may never change. There's people that we have counted out, like they're a lost cause. They're always going to be like this. They're never going to change. Their parents were like this. There's people that we feel like their situations are continuing to be repetitive. So then we begin to count them out of situations, saying that they can't change. But we want to get to the place to where we are showing that life is in us. And when we have life in us, we can give life. We can change things. We can speak things and cause them to rotate and move. And so let's look at Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. We'll start with 11. It says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him." And so when we have life in us, we have to go. It starts off the sentence that says, "soon after." And so if we can remember from last week, Jesus healed the centurion's servant because of the centurion's faith. The centurion was not a follower of Christ, yet he had faith greater than those people that had been following Christ. So soon after he had healed his servant, soon after he had responded to the centurion's request to heal his servant, he went into this town called Nain, and he had disciples and a large crowd of people that went along with him. And so when we have life in us, we have to go. We can't be stagnant. We can't stay in a place and just sit around waiting for things to happen. We have to pick up and go, and we have to begin to do things. He went from one place to another. So after he healed the first person, he continued on his journey. And as he was going on his journey, as he was doing what he was called to do, as he got up and he picked himself up and went, there he came across someone else. And so sometimes we don't even recognize what's in us, that we become so stagnant within ourselves. We become lazy. We want everything to come to us. We want people, we want to sit around and wait and just sit around and read our Bibles and pray all the time. But we have to take action, because faith without works is dead. And so when we have life in us, when we know that we have the ability to change some things, then we have to get up and go. We can't sit around waiting on other people to help us. We have the ability to change things on our own. Although Jesus had people following him, he had his disciples, and then there was also a large crowd. But remember, he had just healed this servant, the centurion's servant, prior to this verse. And so there will be people that will be able to recognize, and they will be able to know that there's something that is greater in you. And so they're not necessarily following you. They're following the power that is within you. And so when you are going and you are doing the work that you are called to do, when you are changing situations, when you are bringing life into dead situations, when you are going throughout your day-to-day life doing what God has called for you to do, you're not only witnessing to those people that you're speaking to, but you're also witnessing to the people that are watching you, because oftentimes we're always talking about what we can do and what we have the ability to do as children of God, yet we're not doing it. And so when we begin to go and do the work of Christ, when we begin to go out into the streets and do what he has called for us to do, we will be witnesses not only to ourselves, not only to the people that we're assisting, but people that are around us. Sometimes we don't even realize the whole capacity of what the Lord has for us to do until we go out there and start doing it. Sometimes we minimize our work to what we see other people doing, and so we minimize what we're able to do. We minimize ourselves based off of our education. We minimize ourselves based off of our experience. We minimize ourselves based off of those things that seem right in our natural mind. Yet when God has called us, he has equipped you. And so what we need to do is we need to go. We need to get up and begin to do the work that he has called for us to do, allowing him to lead you each and every place that you go. Because get this, he prepared you. And how would you like it if you prepared a cake, you put all the ingredients together, and you just set it in the bowl on the counter? The cake will not cook itself. You have to put it in the oven and then allow the oven to do the cooking for you. And so God has placed all of the ingredients in you that you need. He has placed everything in you that you need. And so what you need to do is you need to get up and go, so that he is able to walk you through, and he is able to lead you through what he has called for you to do. Because he won't do it if you're just sitting there waiting on him to move your arms like a puppet. But he is waiting on you to get up and go and do what he has called for you to do. And so when there's life, when we are able to bring life to other situations, when God is in us, when we are able to go out into the world and change things, when we are able to go and speak to people and change their situations, when we are able to change our own situations, we have to get up and go. We can no longer continue to sit stagnant and wait on God to do everything. He has called us to be his hands and feet. That's why he has equipped us to do particular work. Everyone's work will not be the same, yet we all have work to do. And so we have to get to the place to where we are going, where we stop sitting around waiting on God to do the work or waiting on other people to do the work that God has called us to do. And so when life is in us, we have to go. And so let's look at verse 12. It says, as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. And so when life is in us, not only do we have to go, but we also have to know that we'll cross paths with the dead.
He was going into this town, and at the gate, as he approached the gate, so he hadn't even entered the gate, there was a dead person being carried out. So if you could think of a dead person being carried out, like at a funeral in a casket, think of something like that. And so this person that was being carried out, he was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. So he was going to be his mother's protection. He was going to be his mother's provider. He was going to be these things for her, but yet he was dead. And so if we can think about a dead situation, we could think about his mother thinking that she was in a dead situation because not only was she a widow, but her provider, her protector, he was now dead. And then to think about the son, he was a lost cause. There were people carrying him out of the town gate. And so sometimes we'll cross paths with the dead. We'll cross paths with some situations that seem hopeless, not only in our lives, but in other people's lives. And so there will be some situations that may seem hopeless and people that may seem hopeless, but because life is in us and we have got up and we have went and we have began to do the work, sometimes it's not even all about you doing the work. Sometimes it's all about you being in the right place at the right time. And so sometimes we can be going about our day-to-day life and we are doing whatever it is that we do on a regular basis. It can be going to work. It can be going to school. It can be going to the grocery store, the laundromat, the dollar store, the corner store, cutting the grass. It can be doing any of that. But when we have life in us, we'll cross paths with some people that are hopeless, with some situations that are hopeless. But get this, if we aren't recognizing and realizing what's within us, then how will we be able to assist those people that seem hopeless? If we have hope within us, if we have that assurance within us that someone else's situation can change, because sometimes people think that their situation is done, it's dead for, it's they're out for the count. But we have the ability to let them know that their situation is not over. There is still hope. And so regardless of what dead situation somebody may be in, regardless of what somebody may be going through or what addiction they may be dealing with or what circumstances or situations in their family that they may be dealing with or what they may be dealing with in their community, regardless of what situation it may be, any dead situation can come back to life because life is in us, and we have the ability to change things, not only with our words, but with our actions. And so we have to get up and go out into this world that God has left us on. He has created us to be here to do his work, to be a reflection on him. But sometimes so many of us are like the man in the coffin. We're dead. We're sitting around as if we don't have life in us while claiming that we do have life in us. However, when life is in us, we are able to go out into the world. We are able to go out and change some situations. We are able to go out and allow people to see and help people to see that situations can turn around. But it's not until we go. It's not until we recognize what is in us. Sometimes we think that the world is in control of us, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so when we recognize that, then we'll know that we have more control and more power than what we think. And so when we stop placing our hope and our faith in the world and start putting our hope and faith in God and begin doing the work, not just talking about the work, not just claiming the work, not just claiming to be his, not just saying you have it in you, not just talking about what he's done for you, but what are you doing for other people? What are you doing to engage other people in the work of Christ? What are you doing to show that there is life in you? What are you doing to show that what God has called you to do, he has equipped you to do, and it's not for you, it's for others, it's for his kingdom? What are you going to do? Do you know that you have the ability to speak life into a situation? You have the ability to turn situations around. And that's because life is in us. Life is in us. Life is in us. And so we have that ability. And so if we think about Christ, he left from one place and went to another. So he went. And then he passed by this. He was passing by or getting ready to enter the town gate when a dead person was being carried out. So sometimes some people have already counted out a person, have already counted out a situation, and so they're carrying it out ready to be buried. They have already shut it in, closed it in, and they're getting ready to bury it. However, we have the ability to turn a situation around. Christ can do anything, and he uses his people to do his work here on this earth. And so we have to get to the place to where we get up and go, do what God has called you to do. Because, listen, there are some people that are in some dead situations that's waiting on someone like you, that's waiting on you to do what God has called you to do so that they can hear and understand and receive insight that they too can be restored. And so we have to get to the place to where we stop being so selfish and where we stop just looking at, oh, I get to do this and oh, I get to do this, and begin to truly do the work of Christ, regardless of if no one is watching you, regardless of who can hear you, regardless of who knows about it. We have to get to the place to where we recognize we have to go. We have to do the work. We have to do the work. We are all called to do the work. We may not all be called to preach, but we are all called to evangelize. We are all called to do the work. We are all called. We all have life in us, and so we all will cross paths with some people that are dead. And I'm not talking about physically dead. I'm talking about spiritually dead. There are some spiritually dead people that have counted themselves out. Other people have counted them out. And so they don't even know that there's hope for them. They don't even believe that there's hope for them. But we have the ability to speak life into those people. We have the ability to speak life into the circumstances that are continually pulling our people down, that are continually pulling people down and just making them feel like they are worthless. We have the ability to do that, but we won't be able to do it if we do not get up and do something. We have to get up and go. We have to get out and do what the Lord has called for us to do. And so let's look at verse 13. It says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. And so when life is in you, you have to go. You have to know that you'll cross paths with the dead. And then we also have to have compassion. His response to this woman was compassion. He had compassion for her. She had lost her protector, her support system. He had compassion for her. And so we have to have compassion for those people that we come into contact with. Because when we place ourselves in other people's shoes, then we'll be able to see what it's really like, what they're really dealing with. But if we take ours, if we just continually separate ourselves from people's situations and just look at it as another person in their situation, we are not going to be able to have that compassion. We're not going to be able to recognize and put ourselves in their shoes to see if this was me. Sometimes we're not even recognizing that it could be us. And so he had compassion, his heart went out to her. And so we have to get to a place to where our heart is crying out for people. Our heart is feeling what the other people are feeling. If we can just have compassion and stop being so judgmental, if we can have compassion and stop being so prideful, if we can have compassion for people, if we can stop pointing the finger, if we can stop pointing the finger and saying they're always getting in trouble. If we can stop pointing the finger and saying they're always lashing out, or they've been doing this for years. This is their family trade. This is what they do. If we would just have compassion and find out, where is this coming from? What are they acting out of? What has happened in their life that they feel like that this is the only way that they can go? Have compassion. We have to have compassion for people. And I'm not just talking about people that are like us. We have to have compassion for all people. Because if we think about it, everyone is dealing with something. And the way that people deal with things is totally, totally, totally different. It's totally different. And so if we can think about that, and we think about just having a conversation with someone and really getting to know them. Sometimes we judge a book by its cover, and we do that a lot. and we judge people by the way that we see them on the surface. But sometimes what we see is not who they are. Sometimes what we see is the hurt that they have deep within them, and that's the only way that they know how to show what is in them. They may be trying to cry out for help and don't know how. They may be looking for attention because they were neglected as children. They may feel like that's the only thing that they're worth because they were abused or molested as a child. But we have to get to the place to where we are having compassion for people, because we cannot have the life that we say that we have in us. We cannot have that if we don't have compassion for other people. We have to have compassion for other people. We have to stop being judgmental. We have to stop coming up with our own notion of what people have done, what people have gone through, and how they will be. We have to stop, because everyone, people may be going through a situation like you went through or like I went through, but it doesn't mean that they're going through that situation because of the same reason that we went through it. And so we have to stop defining people by our past. Because that's not how everyone is. People have their own story. Everyone is not like us. And so we have to get to a place to where we have a heart for people. We have a heart for people's soul. We have a heart, and we are longing for people to be restored. We are longing and hoping for people to be healed and to be free of these things that they are dealing with. And that's what we have to have. We have to have that compassion. Our hearts have to be pulled, and not just pulled and go through that emotion real quick and then it goes away, but we have to do something. We can't just sit around claiming that we are followers of God and not doing any of the work that Jesus did. Jesus stayed. He stayed connected to those people that were rejected, those unlikely people, those unsavory characters. Jesus always stood up for them, and he was always around them. And he always, almost always, in the Word of God, he almost always was standing up for them against other people. Even when people were trying to come against them, he would take up for them. And so we have to get to that place. We have to begin to do things for people that they can't even do for themselves. Because sometimes people don't even know where to begin. When they are stuck in a dead situation or a situation that seems hopeless, sometimes we need to be the people that protects them and that gets them started on their journey. And sometimes we need to help them throughout the whole process. But we cannot do it if we don't have compassion, if we aren't allowing our hearts to take control. If our heart is not beating God's heart, we will not do the work that he wants us to do as his people. We will continue to sit around and talk about the work. We will continue to sit around and wait to be invited somewhere where we can be on a platform. We will wait to sit around to try to see what next big gig we have and say that we're praying. But what action are we taking? Because Jesus took action in everything that he did. And so we have to stop just talking about it. But Jesus was about it. Jesus was not just talking about it. He was about that life. Jesus had life in him, and he knew that he can change some things around, not only for those that followed him, but for other people that didn't even know him, people that didn't even know that they could be restored to, back to their original state, people that didn't even know that they were able to have hope in hopeless situations. And so Jesus did that thing. He did what God had called for him to do. He did not just sit around and wait to go to church on Sunday and then go home and then sit home on, for the rest of the week and then go back on Sunday. He did the work of Christ. He went about his day-to-day life, and he did the work. He did the work that the Father sent him to do regardless of where he was at. Now, there were times where people wanted him to do certain things, and he said that his time had had not yet come to do particular things. So we do have to make sure we are in alignment with the Holy Spirit to make sure that we aren't acting out of season. However, he continued to do the work. There were times where he did separate himself, and it was just him and the Father in prayer. There were times he had that too. So again, it's important to know your seasons, but we can't stay in a particular season just because that season is comfortable to us. It's time for us to get out and do the work. Because if you don't do what God has called for you to do, who's going to do it? He didn't call anyone else to do what he called you to do. He called you to do it. And so if we don't get to the place to where we are embracing what he has called for us to do and doing it with compassion, not doing it with an attitude, not doing it arrogantly, not doing it prideful, but doing it with compassion, the compassion that the Lord has for his people. We have to get to that place. And so let's look at 14 and 15. It says, then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. So get this. Not only do we have to have compassion, not only will we cross paths with the dead, but we also have to speak life to the dead. It's not enough just for us to walk by and see people in hopeless situations. But get this, Jesus, he touched the bier, which was like a casket. He touched that. That was what they were carrying him on. And then the people that were carrying him stood still. But then he specifically said, young man. He spoke to the specific situation. And once he said, young man, he spoke to the specific situation. He said, get up. So he spoke to the specific situation and commanded the situation to do what other people didn't think that it could do. And so sometimes we have to speak to a specific situation in a specific manner so that it can do what other people don't think that it can do. And so we have to get to the place to where we're not just passing by dead situations or knowing about dead situations or people that seem hopeless. We're not just passing by, but we begin to speak life into them. We begin to speak what other people may not be speaking. We begin to speak what they don't even think could happen. We begin to speak to them those things that they have counted themselves out on, because get this, we have life in us and we have the ability to speak life into other people. And so when we can speak life into other people, it will cause their situation to be restored. It will cause them to return back to the original condition. It will cause them to go back to the way that they existed prior to the situation that came up. It will cause them to be whole. It will cause them to be restored. It will cause them to be free from whatever was holding them captive. But we have to speak life to the dead. And so when we have life in us, we have to go. Stop being stagnant. We have to know that we'll cross paths with the dead. We have to have compassion. We have to speak life to the dead. But then look at 16 and 17. It says, they were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. And so we also have to let the God in us speak for himself. We don't have to try to force anything. We don't have to try to manipulate anything to make things happen. What we have to do is speak life, speak the word of God into those situations. Allow our actions, the actions that we see that Christ did, allow those actions to speak for the God that is in us, to speak of the life that is in us. Allow what we do to show and define who God is so that others will be able to see who he is and want to draw closer to him so that they can connect with him and do the work that he has called for him to do. And so we have to get to a place to where we are allowing God to be seen and stop trying to be seen ourselves. It's time for us to get to the place to where we allow the Holy Spirit to do the complete work that he wants to do in us, the transformation in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul. We need to allow him in to do that so that we can completely do the work that he has called for us to do. So get this, life is in you. You have the ability to change things in your life. You have the ability to change situations in other people's lives. Sometimes you may have to walk people through the entire process. Sometimes you may even just need to get them started. But whatever the situation is, you have the ability to speak and change situations. You have the ability to change things by your actions. You have the ability to do everything that God has called for you to do, but you won't do it if you are stagnant, if you are sitting there and not doing what he has called for you to do. If you are continually sitting in the same place, if you are continually in one place when you should be in another, it is time for you to get in alignment with what the Lord has called for you to do so that you can do what he has called for you to do. Because get this, again, the cake with all of its ingredients is not going to cook on the counter. It must be placed in the oven so that the heat can do its work and the cake can be complete. And so God will not complete what he has called for you to do while we are just sitting there and not going out and doing what he has called and equipped us to do. It's time for us to do the work and stop talking about the work. It's time for our hearts to beat God's heartbeat. It's time for us to love him above everything else and love our neighbors as ourselves. And so I tell you again, life is in you. And so do the work he has called for you to do. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so let's do what God has called for us to do. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you that you have allowed us another opportunity, Lord, to hear from you, God. I pray that you give each and every listener wisdom, Lord. I pray that you give me wisdom, Lord, as you begin to speak to us those things that you are calling us to, Lord, those places in our life that we have become stagnant, Lord, that we aren't doing your work, Lord. I pray that you begin to wake us up, Lord. Help us to get up. Help us to stand firm on your word. Help us to have compassion. Help us to speak life to those dead situations and those people that may be in hopeless situations and seem like there's nothing else that they can do, Lord. Help us to be able to allow you to be seen in everything that we do, Lord. Help us not to try to manipulate anything, but help us to allow you to do the work through us, Father. Lord, we need you, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Christ's name, amen.